Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart. I'm smiling because we have to do a take two. I never do a take two, but the first version of this interview didn't work out right. And this interview, which I'm so proud to get to do again, is with a founder who is a Mixergy premium member who built a business largely with what he learned from Mixergy interviews and courses. Troy Dean is a WordPress consultant who founded WP Elevation, a program that helps WordPress consultants build the businesses they need to support their lifestyles. This interview is sponsored by Scott Edward Walker of Walker Corporate Law. Later on, I'll tell you why, if you're an entrepreneur who needs a lawyer, you should check out walkercorporatelaw.com. But I got to jump into this interview with Troy. Troy, thanks for doing it.
Thank you very much for having me, Andrew. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
I'm doing this interview because I want the audience to see what's possible with Mixergy Premium and frankly with the interviews. If you learn them, what could you do from them? And partially because you're running a membership site, and I'm fascinated by membership sites, and I'm proud that Mixergy is built as a membership site. I want to hear how you did it. Do you remember the first sale that you got from your membership site?
Yeah, I do. I remember it like it was yesterday. I decided to open the doors for like 4 days as an initial intake, just to see if I could, you know, just to see if what I was communicating was resonating with anyone. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if no one buys after 4 days, I can just close the doors and pretend it never happened, and I won't tell anyone, and it's not embarrassing, right? So I sent the email out. I had the checkout all plugged in, and I tested it, and it's all working. And I sent the email out, and then of course I'm sitting there after 30 seconds, you know, waiting for someone to buy. And of course that's ridiculous. No one buys in 30 seconds. So I thought, I'm just going to take the dog for a walk around the block and just get out of the building, man. Clear my head. I'm too attached to this. I came home just in time to see the first email come through, and it was Nicole, a girl here in Sydney, who I'd kind of known. She was on it. She was been on my radar. We'd been kind of emailing, and she was the first member. And I just remember I was punching the sky. I was like, I don't know if you know what the chainsaw is, but the chainsaw is this kind of move. It's like, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's the chainsaw, right?
Yep.
Sports people do the chainsaw a lot. It's like starting a chainsaw. Anyway, so I was dancing around the room doing that because I thought if one person believes that we have something valuable here, then chances are more people are going to believe we have something valuable and this is going to work. So it was a huge moment. It was a huge moment. It was a big success.
And before that, you were a WordPress consultant. What kind of consulting did you do?
So yeah, I'm still a WordPress consultant. So I consult with clients who need to use the web in some way to achieve, you know, their business objectives, whether it's to make more sales or whether it's to build a database or launch their own membership site. WordPress is my chosen, you know, weapon of choice, if you like. Mm-hmm. So I used to be a developer. I used to be a WordPress coder. I'm, you know, used to write HTML and CSS and PHP and all that fun stuff. And then I kind of worked out that what I'm best at is solving problems, is looking at a business, working out what they need, and then bringing in all the parts to deliver a solution. So now we have a team of designers and developers and a network of freelancers who work with us. And my job is to work with the client, work out what problem they're trying to solve, and then design a solution for them.
Since that first sale, you've grown it a lot, which is why I invited you here to do this interview. The interesting thing to me, though, is that you are a developer, you know WordPress really well, and still, when it came time for you to say, you know what, I don't want to sell my time, I want to sell my ideas, you didn't build a WordPress site that you custom coded, that you built from scratch. You used a landing page SaaS software. What's the software they used?
I used Unbounce.
Unbounce. Why did you use Unbounce as opposed to creating a fully functioning WordPress site? Unbounce, all they do is they let you create a quick landing page.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. So I'd been reading a little bit of the Lean Startup methodology, and I watched this, a masterclass in the Mixergy Premium.
Ash Moira.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that guy. He doesn't get nearly enough attention, I think, in the Lean Startup community as one of the teachers of the process who you can count on. Anyway, so yeah, he came on to Mixergy to teach the Lean Startup approach. Okay, so.
Yeah, so I did that course, and I emailed my business partner. We bought his book, Running Lean, the e-version. And then, you know, we bought the whole box and dice. We bought his online boot camp. We got on Skype. We had a chat with Ash. I was a huge fan of how, you know, I'm a big fan of action. I'm a big fan of taking action. But here's the thing about, and I'll come back to why I used Unbounce in a minute. But here's the thing about taking action. The reason that most people take action, I think, is because they're not exactly sure what they're supposed to do next. And they get scared and they get a little bit nervous and they don't back themselves. So what Ash is really good at is saying, well, here's the theory and the methodology and here's what to do next. So he puts this structure around you, which gives you the confidence to take the next step. And that's something that I'm really passionate about teaching. I've always been passionate about teaching my people and my audience the same kind of practical
steps. The framework and what to do next.
Correct.
Okay.
Because if you know what to do next, you can put, it's like rock climbing. If you know exactly what's happening when you put your hand on that rock and your foot in that rock, then you've got the confidence to take the step. But if you're not sure what's there, you don't have the confidence.
So then what did he tell you to do next?
So Ash basically, he talked us through the rapid feedback loop. He's like, you know, what is the quickest way that you can prove your hypothesis? And my hypothesis was, we have a bunch of people in our database who are not buying our software. We have a WordPress plugin. And we had a whole bunch of people in our database that weren't buying the software. And no, I'm okay with that, but I wanted to know why they weren't buying the software. And I had an idea. My theory was that they needed to grow their business to a certain point where they could justify spending money on things like Mixergy premium memberships and premium plugins, right? So I emailed them and they said, yep, we need more clients. So my theory was, these guys, we have enough trust with our database that they will pay us for business education. That was my theory. So I thought, what is the quickest way I can prove that theory? Now, Unbounce is so good at producing landing pages so quickly that I literally, within an hour and a half, I threw up a landing page on Unbounce. I plugged it into Eventbrite to sell tickets, and then I used Zapier to connect people to a webinar in GoToWebinar. It was the quickest way I could do it without, you know, digging into code and without getting one of our developers to help me.
So Unbounce does the design. Zapier takes the data out of Unbounce and throws it into a ton of different places, including even Google Docs, frankly, if you want to use a spreadsheet. But you decided it's going to go into GoToWebinar, and automatically they're enrolled in the webinar, and GoToWebinar then starts to follow up with them and say, hey, remember, tomorrow you have a webinar. Hey, remember, in an hour. I see. So basic off-the-shelf software is what you use to put this whole thing together.
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you get that audience of people who are going to listen to your pitch for this webinar?
So over the last sort of 4 years, we've been selling this WordPress plugin, video user manuals, and we've been doing, you know, content marketing really for the last 5 years really, giving away. So we make some free plugins that we give away in the WordPress plugin repository, and some of our plugins there have been downloaded, you know, 3 million times. So we've been just giving away free software.
You make a
there.
WordPress plugin, though. If you put it in the WordPress repository, how do you get an email address of the person who's using it, or for that matter, even know that someone's using it? They don't give you that data.
No, but what we do is we put a little opt-in ad in the back of our plugin where we say, hey, we offer a free ebook to WordPress developers, and it's called Build a Better WordPress for Clients. And it's all about, when you build WordPress for a client, how do you hand it over to the client? How do you manage that onboarding process with the client? Because if you've never seen WordPress before, there's a bit of a learning curve. And that's what we specialize in. That our whole business is helping developers onboard their clients to using WordPress.
Gotcha.
Right?
So where most WordPress developers might create plugins and contribute it to the community and be on WordPress repository, you said, yes, that's good, but it's not good enough. I need a connection with the people who are using it, specifically with the consultants who are using it. And so I'm going to offer them something in exchange for their email address. You offer them an ebook. You got their email address. That's how you built your list. How big was your list?
We had about, at that point, we had about 9,000 people in our list.
Okay.
So not huge, but we'd been building this organically over the last sort of 4 years, working on this business very, very part-time. Like we would spend maybe 2 or 3 hours a week on this business, and the rest of the time, me and my business partner were doing our own private consulting work, building, you know, sites for clients.
Troy, let me learn something from you that would apply to someone who is not a developer who has a plugin that's downloaded tons of times. What else did you use that allowed you to grow this mailing list to the point where you can reach out to them and say, I'm offering this webinar, do you want to be a part of it?
I spoke at WordCamps. I made a conscious effort to get out of the building and go and speak at events and speak at WordCamps. And one of the things, and I wrote a blog post about this recently on TalkMag, one of the problems I think WordPress developers have when they start speaking and when they start blogging and when they start doing kind of content marketing is we're very passionate about what we know technically. So we're very passionate about, you know, how you can, you know, use Genesis to do XYZ. And that's fine. But the problem is most WordPress developers, and I'm one of them, so I mean this with the utmost respect, most WordPress developers, when they start blogging and speaking at events, they all start sounding and looking the same because they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying about, you know, how this plugin can do this. I mean, if I see one more presentation about how BuddyPress is good for building a social networking site, I'm going to throw myself out the window. I mean, that presentation has been done, you know, 1,000 times. What I think is more interesting is how does your understanding of the technology help people grow their business or solve their problems? And that's the conversation that a lot of WordPress developers aren't having because they're more comfortable talking about the technical stuff.
But Troy, if you're speaking on stage, how do you get the people from the stage to give you their email address so that you get them on the mailing list?
So we do a presentation, and then at the end of every presentation, we have our very last slide is a bit.ly short link, which leads people to a landing page where they opt in for the free ebook that accompanies the presentation.
I see. So it all goes back to the ebook. There are multiple ways where you say, if you give me your email address, I will give you this ebook.
Yeah. And the thing is that the ebook, so here's the thing. First of all, the ebooks are really good. They're like, you know, 30-page ebooks that deep dive, go into detail about
it. And what's the URL where I could see this ebook?
That's a really good question. So just go to videousermanuals.com, which is our plugin business, and you'll see in the sidebar there are 3 ebooks actually that we give away. And they're really good. You sign up and you get all 3 over a period of a week. And then we email you and we say, hey, give us some feedback on the ebooks. And we have this testimonials page where people email us all the time and tell us how the information in the ebook has transformed their business.
I see it. Okay. All right. So ebook, giving away the ebook allows you to grow your mailing list. That is a tactic that you took. You now have this list of people and you said, you know, instead of creating a new WordPress site, instead of creating a membership site, instead of getting carried away, I'm going to go with something that's almost laughably simple. Eventbrite. Uh-huh. Any grandmother can do Eventbrite. Don't mean to put down grandmothers. Unbounce. My grandmother can use Unbounce and she's dead. And Zapier, which most people need to know about, and if they do, they can use it. Terrific. Everything is good. How much did you sell the tickets for?
So we started selling early bird tickets at $97.
Okay.
So we valued the webinar at $197. We started selling early. We sold 50 early birds at $97, and then we released round 2 tickets at $127, and then the final round at $197. And we sold a handful at $197.
Don't you feel embarrassed selling tickets to a webinar when you're a developer who sells code, who sells software?
No, it's a really good question, and no, I don't, because I knew there was a hunger for it. I'd been to WordCamps, and every time I, you know, usually what happens is Sunday night, end of a WordCamp, there'd be a bunch of us, wherever I go, Sydney, Gold Coast, Melbourne, there'd be a bunch of us sitting around, having dinner, having some drinks, talking about how it would be great if there were more business talks at WordCamps. So I knew there was a hunger for this kind of information. I knew that freelancers wanted to learn how to grow their business. And I knew that I'd done it. Like, I'd grown a freelance business. I'd grown an agency. We'd done some high-profile gigs. You know, I knew that I could teach them this. And I'm really comfortable being in front of people and talking and teaching. So I would have been embarrassed if 3 people had bought a ticket to that webinar. That would have been embarrassing.
But I see. So you weren't embarrassed saying, I'm charging for this webinar. What would have been embarrassing is if you hadn't gotten enough people to come in and buy it. You know, the cool thing about using a software like GoToWebinar is no one has to know how many people are in the room. You could just be doing it on your own to one other person, and that person will think that she is in a room full of people.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can hide the number of people who are in the room. They don't have to see it.
And so just on that, the first webinar I ran, which was like 18 months ago, this was like when I was practicing doing webinars and I had no idea what I was doing. The first webinar I ran was to my brother and my fiance. And it was a practice webinar, and it was horrible. And, you know, the audio was dropping out. But I did that to get feedback from them. And gradually I got better and better and better until I said, you know what, I'm going to invite some people onto this webinar who I don't know, and I'm going to expose myself and see if I can do this. So I had practiced webinars in the past to get my confidence up. But the other thing about charging for webinars, just to loop back on that point, is the thing is what I've learned about running free webinars, if you get 100 people register for a free webinar, you're going to get about 30 or 40 people actually turn up. Yeah. If you get 100 people pay for a webinar, you're going to get about 85 turn up, and they're going to pay attention because they want a return on that investment.
So how did you get so many people to pay so that they would turn up?
So we did a limited time, you know, it's classic marketing stuff, scarcity. So there were early bird tickets available. There were only 50 available. and I didn't think we were going to sell 50, but we sold them in like 24 hours. Then we released round two tickets, and there were, you know, 30 of those, and then they sold, and then we released the final round of tickets, and after 48 hours, it was all closed. All the tickets were sold, and I sent three emails over a 48-hour period to let people know what was happening, and there was a lot of thought that went into the email. There was a lot of thought that went into the landing page, and it was all about the benefits of what they were going to learn. And the message was, you know, get better clients, better projects, and better fees. And it was, you know, the headline was "Attention WordPress Developers: Get Better Clients, Better Projects, and Better Fees." And then it was a video that I made, and you know,
how did
everything
you know
that
that's what they wanted, and that's what they wanted. That better clients was important to them.
Because they told me. So at WordCamps and on email conversations, people would say to me, you know, the problem is I don't need more clients. The problem is all the clients I've got only want to spend $500 on a website, and it takes me, you know, and I'm really conscientious about what I do and I'm really passionate about my work. So it takes me 3 weeks to build a $500 website and I'm not making any profit. And then what happens is that just leads to more $500 websites. What I need is I need to start building $5,000 websites so I can make a profit.
Okay, that's what they were telling you, and that's what you said back to them in your sales page.
Correct.
Okay. How much money did you make from that few days sale?
We did $11,500 in webinar ticket sales.
Okay.
On that first webinar.
How do you know what time to do your first webinar? You know, one of the issues I have is I have a really good community in Australia that are fans of Mixergy. I always want to go out of my way to take care of them. That means, though, that I end up making it harder for people in the US sometimes, making it harder for people in Europe sometimes, and it's very tough. How do you know what time to pick for something that people are paying for?
That's a great question. So I'd been a member of a couple of other membership sites, and I'd seen how those guys were doing it, and I was kind of wondering why the webinars were always at 7 o'clock in the morning in Melbourne. And it turns out that 7 o'clock in the morning in Melbourne is, you know, middle of the afternoon or late afternoon in the States, and kind of 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night in the UK. So that's the time. Our webinars are run at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday morning every 2 weeks.
7 o'clock Wednesday morning, Melbourne time. I have
Melbourne
to go
time,
and do the math later on to see what that time is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you basically saw what was working for other people and you did it. You know, the interesting thing to me is I wouldn't start by selling a webinar. I would start by creating a membership site and try to keep that basic and simple. And I'm learning that no, selling the webinar is the way to go. You won't get as many people, but at least you've got your MVP out there and you see if people are willing to pay. But what kind
of
impact can you have in a 1 hour? Or even if you go overboard and do 2 hour webinar, what kind of impact can you get? Can you really deliver something?
So, you know, it turns out you can.
Okay.
So, because here's the thing, I hadn't built the webinar. So we sold these tickets. And then I rang my business partner and I said, well, looks like I've got to go make a webinar. And he said, what are you going to put in it? And I said, well, I don't know yet, but I'll figure it out. So I built the webinar. And the thing was, what I learned a while ago as an educator, I used to lecture e-business at a college here, and I've done a little bit of teaching over the years. I'm not a qualified teacher, but I've done a lot of education stuff. And what I've learned about education is that you basically teach a theory and then give them a template. So if you teach them, you know, if you teach them how to write great subject lines for an email to increase your open rate, then what you want to do is you want to give them three or four blueprints or templates or examples, yeah?
Okay.
So they can look at the theory, see your template, and they just fill in the blanks.
Yes.
So that's what I did on the webinar. We taught six kind of overarching theories about their business, and then we gave them all the templates and you know, blueprints and downloads that they needed to actually just go and start implementing that stuff.
See, Dane Maxwell did that in one of the first Mixergy courses. I know that you were influenced by that. He did. Now that you mentioned it, he gave a theory about the headline. I don't remember the theory about it, but then he gave a template, which I do remember. It's how to get something that they really want without something that they're worried will happen. So how to get more clients without spending more time at boring networking events, you know, that kind of thing. Or how to get more, even if you're not a good salesman, even if whatever they're worried. That's
right.
What you're talking about. Give them a big idea and a small framework and templates.
Yeah, use that all the time. So Dane's course was, you know, was fantastic because he does, so the theory is that you need to tell people the benefit that they're going to receive by investing the time or the money that you're asking them to invest, And you also need to show them the headache or the problem that you're going to solve for them. So that's the theory. And then the blueprint is how to get biggest benefit without biggest headache. That's the blueprint. And you just swap out what's in curly brackets, put in your benefit, your headache, and away you go.
All right, quick plug, and then I want to know what you did next. The plug is for Scott I should never say quick anything. Every time I listen to a podcast and they say just a quick, I know what they're doing is excusing it. You know, it's something bad is coming up, because no one ever says just a quick and then follow it up with something great. Just a quick. No. So no more of that. I have to really get disciplined about it. Instead, I'm just going to say WalkerCorporateLaw.com. If you need a lawyer, how many times do I talk to entrepreneurs in private who will not talk to me on camera about the trouble they have with their partners? I have one guy. He's been pushing me to do it, but also hesitating. He and his partner had a big issue, big falling out. They want to teach the Mixergy community. They're a funded company, and they are worried about embarrassing themselves. They're worried about embarrassing their investors. But what they're telling me in private is they had these issues. The only thing that helped them was that they had a good agreement. You know, sometimes friendship only goes so far. A good agreement will allow you to know what happens when the friendship starts to fall apart, so that it doesn't really go completely into civil war. Anyway, in order to protect yourself from that and so many other things that you as an entrepreneur are going to face as you build your business, you need a lawyer who's already walked through the minefield, who knows where the mines are, who knows what's blown other people up, so he could protect you. Now, there are multiple lawyers who can do that, frankly. I'll be honest with you. You know that. The big lawyers here in San Francisco will charge you an arm and a leg, and they're meant for people who have so much funding that they couldn't give a rip about what happens to their investors' money. Or you get an amateur guy, someone who is just trying to make a name for himself and is hoping that by giving you a little bit of advice, maybe he'll go somewhere and then he can use you as a testimonial or maybe as a referral. But basically, the person doesn't know what to do, and that's why he's charging so little. Neither one of those are right if you're an entrepreneur who cares about the bottom line. And if that's who you are, what you want is someone who has experience and is not going to charge you an arm and a leg because he has a smaller firm that doesn't have the high overhead. And that man is Scott Edward Walker. His website is Walker Corporate Law. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not going to grab you by the lapels and tell you go sign up. I'm going to tell you, make him part of your consideration process. Go to Walker Corporate Law, schedule an appointment, and talk to him. If you're considering multiple lawyers or you know someone who is, make him one of the people you consider. And I am confident that if you do that, you will at least become a good friend of his, if not one of his clients. WalkerCorporateLaw.com. All right. Just a quick conversation about what's next for you. So this thing works out. The few thousand dollars you made from this make you feel great, make you feel validated. But Ash is not here to make you a few thousand bucks. Mm. You went to him because you wanted to build a business off of it. So what's the next step that you take to make this thing into a real business?
So first of all, I just want to thank Scott Edward Walker, because if he wasn't sponsoring you, we wouldn't get all this great content. And I know, and you know what happens is I listen to you hundreds of times, Andrew. Every time you go through this sponsorship for Scott, the guest just pretends it doesn't happen. And I just want to acknowledge, thank you, Scott, because your sponsorship makes all this stuff possible and we benefit from it. And it's real. You are actually making an impact. So I just wanted to put that
on
the record.
I appreciate that. And thank you, Scott. Yes.
So what happened is we had 84 people attend this webinar and it was a blast. It went for 2 hours. The feedback was amazing. I had people emailing me afterwards. We had one refund, by the way. I offered a full refund. We had one refund, and that was because a guy and his boss bought a ticket, and they both attended the webinar without knowing. So they kind of went, oh, well, you know, we both bought a ticket, so I gave them their money back on one of the tickets. So then I surveyed everyone. I sent a woofoo survey out to everyone and said, hey, that was fun. Do you want to do it again? Or do you want to do a series of webinars? Or do you want a mastermind group? Do you want to get on a Google Hangout once a week? Do you want a membership site? Do you want a forum? Do you want to go to Thailand and hang out for a week and have a masterclass? What do you want to do next? Like, it seems like there's an idea worth pursuing here. You guys tell me what you want and I'll build it. And I sent that email to 84 people who were on the webinar, and 55 of them filled in the survey and sent it back, which blew me away. I wouldn't have expected it.
I went through it. I'm done.
Right, exactly. Okay. And I thought maybe 10 people would fill in the survey. 55 people filled in the survey. And they all said, and it's interesting that 55 people filled in the survey. I'm just doing the math now. They all said, we want a business coaching program. we basically want a, you know, they didn't say a membership site, but they said we want a members forum, we want webinars, we want coaching calls, we want video training, we want blueprints, we want you to show us how to build our business.
Wait, I'm not used to customers saying specifically what they want. I'm used to them saying the problems they have, but not specifically saying, I want a members forum. Why do they say that?
Well, I think the thing about the WordPress community is it's a very tight community. So WordPress is open source software, and the thing that blows you away about WordPress when you start building websites on WordPress is the amount of free plugins you can get your hands on that are contributed to by thousands of developers all over the world, and how helpful people are in helping you out, right? So that community spirit kind of, and it's funny, you go to a WordCamp, and I've never seen people be so open and so honest about how they're running their business and helping newcomers out. And you know, you go to a conference, an accountants conference, and everyone's walking around telling you how much their hourly rate is, and the whole thing's a bit of a pissing contest, and everyone's closed shop, and they're not actually exposing how they're running their business, and everyone's full of it, you know? So, or with all due respect to accountants. But WordPress has this real openness in the community. So they said, we want to meet other WordPress consultants who are having the same problems. We want to talk to each other. We want to share ideas. We want training. But they were really big on the fact that they wanted a community. So I basically put that in a spreadsheet and looked at everything they wanted and thought, well, this is a membership site with a community forum and webinars and coaching calls and a calendar of events and training videos. So I planned it all out and, you know, I went away for two weeks, made all the sales videos, made all the welcome videos, you know, went through the whole process.
You paid someone to do that?
No, I did it myself.
You just did it yourself with a camera and maybe a friend working it?
I did it with an iPhone on a tripod and a little glyph adapter that holds
that attaches
the iPhone
to the
on a tripod. Yeah, and some lights that we had kicking around the place. I went to a friend's farm. There was no one operating the camera. I was doing it myself. My fiance was in the farm studying for a thesis, and I was outside shooting all these videos with my own microphone. No one else there, just me doing it by myself.
By the way, you have a really good setup. Do you have an iPhone in your pocket right now?
No.
No. Is it around? Let's try an experiment. I'm going to get
it's
mine
here.
Out.
It's right here.
Okay. Let's do the camera facing forward, and let's see if it works. I'll try it here for myself first. All right. No, this is the back. Okay, hang on. All right. I want to see if we can just show... No, that is not a good... Here are my lights. Can you kind of see
them? Oh, yeah.
Them?
Okay, gotcha.
There's another light. All I have is those LCD lights. There's my clothing behind.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
My two computers here. One is spying. This is the one that I'm using for the interview.
You can't see it.
No, you got to get it. Let's see. If you get a little closer, let's see if that works.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, all right. So those are some pretty heavy-duty lights, right? Aren't they? Those are the hot lights, and you have one big one facing you.
Yeah, I got one big one facing me here, and I've got one above me here.
Ah, why the one above you?
Because it gives me some definition here and around here, so I'm not in shadow.
Oh, I see. As opposed to many people have it below them, you just put it above you.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a link on my website, on the WP Elevation website, called How We Produce an Episode of the Podcast, and it actually shows my setup. I've also got a sit-down, stand-up desk. I've got an electric desk that goes up and down.
Okay.
I've got the Rode podcast.
How tall are you, by the way?
Sorry?
How tall are you?
5'11 and a half.
5'11 and a half. Yeah, you look tall, and I think also standing up here makes you look taller as opposed to sitting down.
Yeah, it's completely off topic, but I'm loving this.
I know, it really is off topic, isn't it? But I'm curious about it. The photo you have on Twitter, for example, is the one you wearing the Woo Themes t-shirt in, right? You don't look as tall there, and then every time I talk to you on camera, you just look really tall.
That's because I'm standing up, yeah.
Hey, by the way, how did you know what topic you were going to create your original webinar about?
Because people were telling me, you know, like people were telling me their problems were, so people were telling me the problem is I'm not charging enough. So I have this conversation all the time. I have these emails every day. WordPress consultants pinging me on Skype all the time saying, hey man, I know I'm not charging enough. I'm really good at WordPress and I'm not charging enough. I've got too many clients not paying me enough. And the projects they're doing are doomed for failure because they've got no strategy and they're not thinking about, you know, They haven't thought about what they're going to do once they've built the website. I want
to
start
working. But they talk to you about all kinds of problems. They say, I'm not charging enough. I don't like my clients. They could also say, I'm wasting too much time. I eat too much in the middle of the day because I work from home. Yeah. There are all these different problems that they have that you could have addressed. It seems to me that you pick the topic that is directly related to their wallets. Is that intentional?
Well, here's the thing about money, right? Money doesn't solve everything, but it solves a hell of a lot of problems.
And people are more willing to pay for courses and webinars and membership sites, et cetera, if the topic is more directly related to money.
So the original tagline for WP Elevation was, helping WordPress consultants build an exceptional business. And I kind of realized that actually wasn't what got me out of bed every day. What gets me out of bed every day, we have quite a few stay-at-home parents in our membership, moms and dads, who work from home 3 days a week doing some WordPress consulting and spend the rest of the time with the kids, And what gets me out of bed is when I get emails from them telling me, hey, I've just doubled my rate and got no pushback. I've just earned twice as much as I've ever earned on a website, which means I can do half the amount of projects a year, make the same money, and spend more time with my kids and have a better lifestyle.
Okay.
That's what gets me out of bed. Now, money affords you the lifestyle that you choose. So I'm actually not interested in helping WordPress consultants make more money. I'm interested in helping them have the lifestyle that they want.
I see. I read the intro that my researcher helped put together, and in it, we describe WP Elevation as a program that helps WordPress consultants build the businesses they need to support their lifestyles.
That's it.
I see. All right. So it was where your passion was. Is there any truth to what I'm saying or any validity to what I'm saying, that if you deal more directly with people's revenue, they're more likely to spend money and increase your revenue?
Sure. I mean, if you can get someone results, if you can put, look, I mean, the lowest hanging fruit is if you can show people how to make more money, then, I mean, and I know it sounds crass, but if you can show people how to put their fees up or how to make more money, then they're more likely to pay for that information. The problem is that you kind of end up in this niche where, you know, you become this person that can teach you how to make more money. And that's not what I'm interested in.
No, and it's also, it can become a disgusting world if you get there. And I'm looking at your site and nothing here even says more money. I'm looking at the top. The headline says, become an exceptional WordPress consultant. What you get, the blueprint, training, community support. There, I don't see yet reference to increasing people's revenue. I see. Okay. So maybe you get, you don't get too close, or else you get a little disgusting by that get rich quick type WordPress community.
Yeah. And it's implied. I mean, we've got video testimonials in our website where members emailed me and said, I just doubled my rate, and I'm like, great, can I get you on Skype and shoot a little video? And they will tell me, I just got a deposit check, which is double more than I normally get for an entire project. And I'm a stay-at-home mum. You know that? So I let the members sell that message and communicate that message. I don't want to be the one saying, I can help you make more money. Because it's actually more than that. We help our members build remote teams. We help them scale up. We help them optimize their processes. It's not just about putting your rates up. It's about, you know, the whole business and where you want to be in that business. If you're just a developer, if you want to grow a team, what kind of business do you want? What kind of lifestyle do you want?
Okay. You then decide, I'm not going to use duct tape and spit to connect everything together. I'm actually going to build a WordPress site. But as I noticed earlier, the theme is an off-the-shelf theme, right?
Mm-hmm.
The theme is, what is it called? Forest.
Yep.
And the membership software that you use is what?
Wishlist.
And for payments, are you using Stripe? Let me see if I can tell.
No, we're using 2Checkout. We live in Australia. We don't have Stripe yet, Andrew.
That stinks, man.
I know. We don't have fast internet or running water either. It's coming.
You know what? I'm actually really upset every time I see that U.S. companies, and I know that the Stripe isn't doing it intentionally, but I'm upset when I see that U.S. companies have to treat international businesses and customers as third-class citizens of the world, and you don't get Stripe, and you don't get – all right. So why
did you pick – Well, it's almost here. Stripe's in beta here. It's almost here. But there's a whole bunch of legal stuff about, you know, accepting multi-currency payments in Australia that's a bit of a nightmare. So we use 2Checkout as our payment processor. Because 2Checkout will accept US dollars from you, so you can pay in US dollars, and then they will put that money into our Australian bank account as Australian dollars, and we take a bit of a hit on the currency conversion, but they don't charge us enormous fees to do that.
I see. Okay. All right, and that just plugs into a Wishlist member. Any other software you use to run it?
Just a bunch of plugins in the back end and a whole bunch of custom plugins that we've written in the membership stuff.
What do you have to custom create?
So our customers need invoices. And in Australia, they need a tax invoice which shows the GST, which is like the VAT, right? So we needed to build something in the back end where they could log in as a member and they could print out their own invoices in the back end. Because the invoice they get from 2Checkout doesn't meet the legal requirements here in Australia.
I see. Okay. All right. How'd you come up with your monthly – or actually, is it a monthly fee? I see $194 on the site. Unit price 97. Oh, I see. That's why it's 194. I keep hitting submit on the join, checking it out. Okay. Yeah. So you're charging what? $97 a month?
Yep.
How did you come up with $97 a month?
So we asked the people that we surveyed, the 55 people that filled in that survey. I got about 5 or 6 of them on Skype, had personal conversation with them on Skype and said, if we build this, what does it look like? You tell me. And they told us what they wanted. And more importantly, I said, what's the price point? And they said, if it's between $1,200 and $1,500 a year, I would buy it tomorrow. And I said, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm coming back in 2 weeks' time. It will be $97 a month, and I'm going to build exactly what you've told me, and I want you to sign up. And they said, I'm there. I'm ready. I'm
just
waiting.
Just for a community that they asked for and some training, they're willing to pay $97 a month.
Yeah.
But so WordPress here's the communities thing. Are all over the place. I get to go to yeah. WordPress.StackExchange. I get to go to, I can't think of anything else right now.
Yeah, there's tons of them. They're everywhere. And you want to learn anything about WordPress, you go to YouTube and there are millions of videos showing you how to do all sorts of crazy stuff with WordPress. So here's the thing. We don't teach code. We don't teach you how to do anything with WordPress. Yes, we have conversations about best practices and the best frameworks and the best plugins to use. But if you want to learn how to write PHP scripts to develop a page template or write your own themes, well, you're not in the right place. What we will teach you is we teach you how to build a sustainable, real business around your WordPress skills and your WordPress passion, right? And here's the thing about free. People don't value free because there's no skin in the game. They've made no investment, so it doesn't matter if they don't turn up. So I said to my business partner, there were a whole bunch of other entrepreneur kind of membership sites floating around the internet at the time we launched WP Elevation, and they were all about $39 a month. And you know what? I'm like, that's too cheap, man. $39 a month. I could pay $39 a month and not turn up to a webinar and not even watch the recording and not care because it's only $40, right? Okay. Whereas $100, now I'm paying attention. I can't afford to drop $100 every month and not do anything with it. That's $1,200 a year. I could do more with that $1,200 a year, right?
I'm asking questions that I think in many ways might bring up any guilt you had about charging. Did you have any guilt about charging for content, for access? None at all.
None.
I had that guilt with Mixergy. You didn't have that.
None. I'll tell you why. Because first of all, I'd had people tell me you should charge for this information. I have had people email us about the ebooks over the years saying the information you give away in the ebooks is so good, you should be charging for this, right? So I kind of had a feeling that people would pay for this information. Now, my own kind of, I had a whole bunch of self-limiting beliefs up to a certain point where, you know, yes, I had all that self-doubt, like who's going to listen to me and, you know, who's going to pay attention and who am I to teach them? And I had all that kind of stuff. But the first webinar was, the first webinar we ran in the whole lean startup methodology was a way of proving, will these people pay Troy Dean money for business education?
I see. And then once they paid you that money, you said, I am not just a consultant. I am not just a developer. I am a teacher who's valued enough by people that they paid all this money. And that's where the chainsaw punch in the air came from.
Exactly. That's right. And the thing is, they came back to me after that first webinar and said, please do this again. And I had people saying, I would have paid double the price to be on that webinar. Please do this again. I can't wait for the next one. And they told me, we are happy to pay $97 a month to be a part of this. And the thing is, if I'd given it away for free, I know there are people trying to build kind of business coaching programs in this space that are giving so much content and so many webinars away for free, and they're hearing crickets. They're struggling to get people to turn up on the webinars because people don't value free.
Okay. You then charge. How many people get in? 55?
55, which is interesting.
That's why you said earlier, it's funny, 55 people answered the woofoo form. in the survey, and then 55 people joined. It's not necessarily the same 55.
That's right.
You're offering a community. 55 people in a WordPress forum doesn't feel like enough people for a community conversation.
Yeah, you're right.
What do you, okay. You're right.
So what happened is I opened the doors for 4 days, and we sold 55 memberships in 4 days. And then I kind of panicked, because then I was thinking, okay, well, now we need to run webinars and coaching calls every month, right? Now I need to put together a calendar of events, and I need to work out what I'm going to teach them. So I just started a conversation with them and said, okay, what do you want to learn first? And they told me. So then we kept the doors shut for a couple of months, and then I reopened the doors, and they've been open since. And you're right, we had a few people join. We had a few people join in that first weekend who came in and said, oh, you know, and then canceled because I said, oh, you came in and there was nothing going on in the forums. There was no community. And I emailed them. I'm like, dude, we just started, man. Like, what do you think? Of course, like, you are part of the foundation.
See,
membership.
I wouldn't have the guts to do that if I were starting a community. If someone said that, I wouldn't go, dude, we just started. I would go, oh, I can't believe it. I failed this person. It's not going to work. You didn't feel any of that.
Man, look, the first conversations that started happening in the forums were like some of those earliest threads are still some of the most popular. When new members join, we have this guy, Len, from Toronto, who I just love to bits. Every time someone joins WP Elevation and they introduce themselves in the forum, he plays traffic cop. He comes into the forum and he's like, okay, welcome, Andrew, to WP Elevation. Let me tell you where to start. First thing is first, you need to go and watch the webinar, the original webinar from May. Then you need to go and read the original forums when we first started out, because there's all these great conversations there. So he does the onboarding process for me, right?
I see. So everyone is encouraged to go into the forum and say something right away.
Yeah.
And it's what do you say? Well, I'm here, and the reason I'm here is etc. That kind of thing.
Yep. So there's a sticky post in the forum which basically says read this first, and they read it and they say, hey, introduce yourself to the forum, tell people who you are, where you're from, what your expectations are, what problem you're trying to solve. And then all the other members come in and give them a warm welcome and a
warm
response.
I need to do that with TrueMind.com. When we sign people up and they're in there, we need to encourage them to do it. All right, but that's day one. I understand also having somebody follow up. That makes a much more welcoming environment. What do you do a month in after people have introduced themselves and you want them to come back in and have a conversation with each other?
Well, there's a few things. One thing we do So the one thing the members do really well is they share. So for example, one of the things we talked about is helping these guys get some recurring revenue into their WordPress consulting business. And the easiest way to do that is to develop maintenance plans. So you put your clients on maintenance plans, they pay you whatever it is a month.
Yes.
And then for that, you keep WordPress updated, update their plugins, all that kind of stuff. And so one of our members, Ashley in New Zealand, he developed a Google Docs spreadsheet on everything that's included in a maintenance plan, all the value, and then the price points. And he shared that with everyone in the community. And then he developed a pricing table for his website that he was going to use to promote it. And he shared that in the forum. So that's the kind of stuff that gets shared in the forums. And that's what keeps people coming back to grab those resources and contribute those resources and share those resources with the other members.
Okay. So if they can create resources, then that brings them back in. Do you do anything to incentivize them or to encourage them?
So we gamify the forums. So we use the achievements plugin. So what happens is every month I give away a coaching call for free with myself. So every month someone gets a 1-hour coaching call on Skype with me, and I help them. I go deep on their business and help them overcome whatever challenge they've got. And the winner is based on how active they are in the forums, how much they're helping other people in the forums, and how much success they're having and how much they're implementing what we teach them and how much they're sharing in the forums. So if someone chimes in and says, hey, I just doubled my rates and, you know, had the courage to put my fees up and got paid more, then we'll award them points for having the courage to implement. If someone comes in and helps someone else with a problem, then they'll automatically get points for helping another member. And at the end of the month, there's a leaderboard. Whoever's on top of the leaderboard wins the free coaching call.
I see it. Achievements for WordPress. It works with BB Press, with BuddyPress, BB Press, WP Ecommerce, etc. That's it. It's just a plugin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 55 people get in there. What is the biggest problem you had? I don't want to seem like everything's working out great for you.
The biggest problem I had was initially was engagement. Like, how do we keep them engaged? How do we keep them?
Yes.
You know, yeah. How do we keep them engaged? So, and I think we solved that problem by having a monthly webinar and a monthly coaching call. And the thing with the coaching call that I think, was the real aha moment. See, a webinar is essentially an hour of training and then, like, you know, 20 minutes of Q&A. A coaching call is 10 minutes of training and an hour of Q&A. And I get people on GoToWebinar, I unmute them and they have a conversation with me and the whole room listens in. And we have like a mini mastermind group on the coaching call every month. And I think that's really helped to build the community. And so it's the connect. So they've kind of joined for the content, but they're kind of staying because the community is there helping each other wrangle this content and helping implement. And there are now friendships. And we now have meetups in Melbourne tomorrow. I'm going to a meetup. This is our fourth meetup in Melbourne.
How great is that?
There'll be eight of us there sitting around, having a beer, chatting, talking.
Your community.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another challenge that we have here at Mixergy when we create this stuff. Sometimes I feel like people aren't in it for the content, aren't in it for the ideas. They're in it because I'm going to do a webinar or something or go to a meeting and we'll all get to hang out. Right. And so when I was testing TrueMind, I said, I can't be the only one who's going to be teaching it, because then they just might be into, like, we started out by doing coaching calls to just see, does it work? And it was me. And I thought, hey, they're all very happy. I thought maybe it's because they're kind of getting a riff with me. We BS a little bit, you know, and they know me from the interviews, and it may not be the ideas. So then I asked Olivia, I said, do you know this process? You've gone through the TrueMind process. You teach it. TrueMind is about how to get out of your head, stop having this inner criticism, and really just be yourself. Anyway, so she started teaching it and things worked out. You have a similar issue where you're wondering, are they just into hanging out with me? Is this a hangout session, or are they into the ideas?
Yeah.
So what do you do about that?
So it's really interesting. At the moment, the big challenge that I think we've got, and I've thought about this a lot, and I've thought about this because I've been listening to you a lot, and I've been listening to John Lee Dumas a lot, and thinking, you know, at the moment, the challenge over the next sort of 12 months is to test, is this a Troy Dean fan club, or is this a business that actually helps people with content and training and is impactful? So what we're doing, the reason that I don't think it's sustainable as a Troy Dean fan club are two reasons. First of all, it can't be too dependent on me, because if I get hit by a bus, it's bad for the business, but it's also bad for the members. Right? Because if they're completely reliant on me and they just like hanging out with me, and something happens to me, then they stop getting value.
Not only that, but then they're not getting what they came in for.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the plan over the next 6 to 12 months is to start introducing other hosts on the podcast. So we'll probably start with one or two podcasts a month that will be have a different host hosting the podcast. And then we're already starting to bring in other guest presenters to teach the webinars. And the plan is eventually, there are kind of six parts to what we teach. The plan is to eventually have one person run each module in the business and teach those webinars and look after those coaching calls and contribute to those forums and interview those guests on the podcast.
Okay.
And I'll kind of look after one of those areas, and we'll have other people look after the other areas.
I see. You did break down everything that people need to know to build a better consulting business into six different areas. Incoming, meaning take care of incoming leads, positioning yourself, proposals, anti-follow-up, delivery, and referral machine, right? So now everything you teach falls in within those six areas.
Right.
I was doing some spying on you to see where your traffic was coming from, and I discovered that learn-dash.com sends you traffic, and you said not only traffic but customers too.
Yeah.
What is learn-dash, and why are they sending you traffic and customers?
So learn-dash is a learning management system for WordPress. It's a plugin that allows you to deliver courses. The reason we chose it at the time is because it integrated with 2Checkout, which is our payment processor, and also it has this really cool thing which some people might think is a bit naff, but it allows you to print a certificate at the end of completing a course. So it has courses. Each course has a quiz. You get your quizzes right, and then you print a certificate.
Okay.
So we launched – I realized that $97 a month is a big ask for people who don't know us. So we launched a course that you can do at a lower cost. It's $97 for the course. We usually sell it a bit cheaper than that as a promotion. And so we built that on a subdomain using LearnDash. Now, there was this one little quirk with LearnDash that I wanted to fix, and it wasn't in core, so I kind of hacked into their code and fixed it, and then I went and contributed that little code snippet back to the LearnDash forums and said, hey guys, this is how I've solved this problem, it might be helpful, and they actually then adapted that into the core part of the plugin, and Justin, the guy at LearnDash, thanked me in the forums and then reached out to me and said, hey, how are you using LearnDash? And I told him what we were doing with it, and he put our screenshot and our website on his homepage, which lots of WordPress consultants visit because they're looking for learning management solutions.
It says, check out who else is using LearnDash, and you are right there.
Yeah, and so he's one of the biggest referrers of traffic and also conversions. Like, people that visit us from LearnDash come through and join the program.
I see. So does LearnDash, it's software that works with your WordPress site within WordPress? Mm-hmm. And it allows you to move people along through a course, test them at every module, at every step, and then give them a certificate.
That's right. And if they don't pass the quiz, they don't get to go on to the next lesson. So they have to pass the quizzes. They have to do them in order. They can't skip ahead. And at the end of it, they get a certificate. I had a guy email me saying, "Can you? I couldn't print my certificate for some reason. Can you please send it to me, because I want to print it out and frame it and put it on my wall next to my diploma."
I get it.
The certificate works.
Frankly, I got to tell you, I don't think the diploma is getting him anywhere in life. I don't know where he graduated, but unless he graduated from Harvard or someplace really important like NYU, that's not really helping him. All right, I get it. Wow, I never heard of this thing. And it's just $99 for it.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a whole bunch of other learning management solutions.
Here's the other thing that I did. I went back to archive.org to look at your personal site.
Oh, yeah.
I need to drink. I need some water. I go back in time. I'm expecting to see this WordPress fandom, this business fandom. You know what I saw? You have a smile on your face. You probably know. This music collection. What's it? So you're not even like a dyed-in-the-wool entrepreneur from birth. You're more of a musician.
Yeah.
All right.
You were doing your homework. Yeah. No, entrepreneurship's kind of a new thing for me. I kind of discovered it in my, I don't know, early to mid-30s, and then just kind of gradually been falling in love with it.
Here it is. Sorry. When you saw me, if I was doing this, like, I couldn't find – I have so many tabs open right now. I got SpyFu open to see, is that giving me anything? I'm constantly looking for more information to see underneath what's there. Yeah, I see it. Now on your website, as of December 3rd, 2010, there's more music than anything else. Music, run. You remind me. I can't let you go. Coming home. Come to bed. Oh boy, I see where this is going.
So that's an album I released called Mythology and Rumor.
Your album, I see.
Yeah, I played in bands in my 20s, and then when I was in my early 30s, I was just kind of, you know, kicking about doing bits and pieces, and I decided I'd never made a full-length record. We'd put out a bunch of EPs, I'd never made a full-length album, so I thought I want to make one full-length album. So I just went into the studio and self-funded a little record called Mythology and Rumor that I just made for my own enjoyment. And I didn't even bother doing a launch or, you know, trying to market it or sell it. I just did it for my own enjoyment, really, just a cathartic kind of self-indulgent exercise.
Well, like how you were saying, I didn't even do a launch for it. Like, now you're thinking, as a marketer, I would do a launch for this. I would make it available only for 48 hours to listen to the music. And if you buy it now, you might even get to watch a live concert at 7 a.m. Melbourne time.
Via Google Hangout, exactly.
Hey, I want to tell people where you learn some of what you've talked to us about here, encourage them to go get some of it for themselves, and then come back and ask you about something that we're missing here, because I know that we haven't fully delivered. So here's the thing, guys. If you're into what we're teaching here, specifically membership sites, I have a personal passion for membership sites. I created a membership site long after people told me content will never sell online because there's YouTube, because there's Google, because everything is free. I found that was BS. Of course, there's a lot of free stuff and people are going to be happy with it, but when they want quality and if you can deliver quality, they're going to be ready for your stuff. I wasn't fully ready to do it, like you might not be. It took me a long time to learn how to do it right, to learn from the best. I started out with people like Linda of lynda.com, and she taught me how to do it in a Mixergy interview, which is available to you. And then I went to Stu McLaren, and he taught me how to do it. And then I went to so many other people. If you are into membership sites, dare I say there is no better resource than Mixergy, where I brought in some of the top entrepreneurs in the space to do interviews about how they did it. And I brought others in to talk about other top entrepreneurs to teach specific courses specifically around how to get customers onboarded, right? How to do retention and so on. It's all available for you in one simple package at MixergyPremium.com. You've heard Troy talk about some of the courses in there. There are many more. I'm specifically focusing on membership sites because if you listen this far, I urge you to create a membership site already. Do it on your site. It's not enough to just be a blogger. I think you need to create this community of people who like your stuff so much they're willing to pay for it, because that community will hold you accountable to high quality. That community will give you feedback like the free people never will. And because, frankly, if we're talking about ongoing revenue, you're going to be able to bank on that revenue, to hire people to help you build your business, to bank on that revenue, to know where your company is going in the future. It's all available for you at MixergyPremium.com. I guarantee you'll love it. Go sign up right now. Troy, I've centered this interview on membership sites. We have that in common. I feel like we got through a lot. We got through the plugins, WordPress, Wishlist. We introduced me even to, where is that that tab? There it is, to learn-.com. We talked about so much. I feel we still might have missed something. If you were listening in the audience right now, no, if you were listening back in your music days and you said, I want to create a membership site, what would you say is missing? What is the part that someone who's trying to follow your lead and build a successful company would need to know that we haven't covered? Where are they going to make mistakes?
That's a really good question. So here's the thing. Before WP Elevation, I launched a membership site that failed.
Oh, good. Yes. Okay. What did you do wrong?
Everything. Okay. So what I did is I launched a thing called Online Marketing Masters, where I was a WordPress consultant, but I was also realized that a lot of my clients that I was consulting with didn't understand the basics of online marketing, so I wanted to teach them what I knew about online marketing. Where I failed is it was too broad. It was designed to appeal to everyone. There were, you know, I was doing free webinars. I was doing free coaching calls to try and build an audience, and there were all sorts of different business owners in that community. And I couldn't target my message to them because I didn't understand their problem as well as they did. And I couldn't solve their problem because I wasn't inside their head. So what happened is when we started launching WP, and so I was really frustrated and I was really, and I remember I was running coaching calls on Wednesday nights at that point. And it was Tuesday, and I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'm not going to do the coaching call. I cannot be bothered putting together the keynote presentation. I'm not making enough revenue out of this. I'm going to shut it down. I sent everyone an email saying, I'm really sorry. This is not sustainable. I can't keep doing it. It's over. You know, I'm not taking any more money from you. Have fun. You can keep everything I've given you, but you know, we're not moving forward. And I had quite a few people say, I'm really disappointed. I was really enjoying it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And then I realized that I had this audience of people that I already had a relationship with and already trusted me in the WordPress database. So the lesson for me was, and this is my mantra now, is work out who it is you serve the best and then go about serving them better than anyone else. And I worked out that WordPress consultants and developers are the guys that I love the most, and they're the ones that I understand the most, and they're the ones that I serve the best. So that is now my focus.
I get that. That the more focused you are, the more helpful you can be. And I've made that mistake with Mixergy, and slowly we are getting more and more narrow with our focus. And I wish I'd learned that a long time ago too. It's not enough to just say startups. It's not enough to just say help you. You'd have to be much clearer about what size startups, where do you want to help, and so on. And we're doing that.
Yeah. And you have this, like, when, you know, you talk about niche marketing or narrowing your focus, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to focus on an industry, but you have this thing where you are home of the ambitious upstart, which is great. Because I identify as an ambitious upstart. I'm ambitious. We're a startup, but I've also got a little bit of attitude. I'm also a little bit of a screw you, man. I can do this. It's why I love Richard Branson, the screw it, let's do it thing. Yep. You know. So I feel at home when I'm listening to Andrew Warner, home of the ambitious upstart. I feel like I'm in the right place. Yeah.
I know what you mean. I do feel that upstart mindset so much, especially, so I moved to San Francisco recently. There are people here who haven't made, they don't need a Mixergy interview. Their father-in-laws, we're now at a place where the internet is old enough that if your father-in-law has made it, he can open up doors for you. It's almost like the garment industry was years ago. Those guys don't need Mixergy. They just need to go to dinner at their father-in-law's house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not talking about anyone specifically, but I am. I'm talking about some specific people. See, I still have that upstart chip on my shoulder frustration. How much revenue are you making right now?
We my business partner and I have decided we don't publicly disclose our revenue, but I can tell you we're a six-figure business. I'm happy to tell you that much. And we have an office here in Melbourne, and we have an office in Sydney, and we have staff in Melbourne, and we have three staff in the Philippines. And we
How
have
old's
myself.
The business?
Well, we've been going full time for about 18 months. Before that, my business partner and I were just kicking about part time for a few.
How long
years.
Did it take you guys to hit 100,000 in revenue?
So we did that pretty quickly, actually. We were doing that when we were just kind of doing it part time. We were kind of spending maybe 4 hours a week on it, and we probably got there within the first couple of years. And that was just selling the $24 a month.
Oh, plug-in. I mean with the membership site. How many members do you have?
Oh, the membership site. Okay, so. We've got 150 members at the moment, and they're a mixture of gold and platinum. So we have a handful of platinum members.
Okay. And I don't know you had that. Okay.
Yeah, so platinum members, basically, they get one-on-one coaching with myself on Skype every month.
What does it cost for platinum?
Platinum's $500 a month.
$500 a month. Okay, so minimum you're making $15,000 a month with just this part of the business.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have platinum members, which increases it even more. I say 15,000 because that's roughly $100 per.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that feel awkward for me to have brought that up?
Sorry?
Does that feel awkward? No, it doesn't.
No, not at all. So here's the thing about, and we spoke about this, but here's the thing about revenue is, I'm glad I asked you this when I interviewed you, which we're actually putting up on our podcast tomorrow. I always kind of thought that talking about revenues was a bit of a gimmick, and I know that a lot of people do it. I know a lot of people publish their monthly revenue reports, and I'm kind of like, I think there's something more important than revenues. Because first of all, I think what's more important than revenues is profit. But second of all, I think what's more important than revenues is sustainability, profit, and sustainable growth. I kind of think at the moment there's lots of startups being really transparent and open and honest about publishing their monthly revenue reports. And for me, it kind of feels a little bit gimmicky. That's why my business partner and I have decided that we don't disclose our revenue.
I like gimmicks. I feel that it's more than a gimmick, though. It's in some ways, it really is helpful. In other ways, it feels like we're taking the business into, I got rich by charging you to show you how to get rich.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the part that feels a little bit off. You know, I started out asking revenue because my focus was on tech startups specifically, the kinds of companies that I ran where people didn't talk about revenue. And I had a chip on my shoulder that I had revenue, I had profits, and they didn't, but they were getting headlines. And I wanted to kind of turn things around. But once I step outside of that world, it does become dangerous to start talking about revenue. If I talk to you about your membership site where you're teaching and I get into revenue, first of all, info products at all are an issue. Second, get rich quick is an issue. Info products that teach people how to make money potentially feel like get rich quick. If I ask you how much money you're making, we're essentially getting into that territory where you might as well be leaning on a limousine as we're doing this interview, you know?
That's right.
So but also you're right. You're absolutely right, and I appreciate you saying that. Yes.
But I also understand the point that you made is that it's important to validate. There's no point you having people on this show to teach if you can't validate that they've got some kind of success. So, you know, and there's plenty of funded companies around not producing invoices. So I think what's important to note is that we're bootstrapped. We don't owe a cent. We've never borrowed money. We've been cash positive from day one in the membership site. So the first weekend we launched, we had 55 members. If you want to put this in some kind of context, 55 members meant that we had a $60,000 a year business in those 4 days. We're great. We've just added 60 grand a year to the business in those 4 days, and it's grown organically since then. So we have other streams of income. Of course, we have our consulting work that we still do. We have the plug-in business, and our growth is good.
Don't you ever feel like you got to get out of the consulting business, that you're only doing it so that you understand what your customers are going through, but you go, come on, I'm done with this thing.
Yeah, so the good thing about the consulting business now is that I can kind of pick and choose what projects that I want to work on, and they're good projects, they're profitable. And also, I kind of would feel like a fraud teaching how to be a consultant if I wasn't still doing it. So as long as I'm teaching it, I'll still be doing it.
All right. This has been a great conversation, a great interview. Thank you for doing this. Thank you all for being a part of it. As always, if you got anything of value from this, find a way to say thank you to Troy. I am telling you this not because I get any benefit. There's no affiliate commission on telling you to say thank you. But as a guy who has suggested this now for years, what I have found is Troy might get a few customers from this. I don't know. Many people have. Then he'll feel good about it. Some people in the past have come back and said, Andrew, I feel so good about all the revenue I made. Can I give you a commission? I can't take commissions. So then what do they do with all this good feeling that they have? What they do is they say, oh, this guy from Andrew's community came and said, thank you. I better take really good care of him so Andrew can have me back on. And then maybe I could repay him for all the money that I'm making from the interview, or I could repay him for just making me look like a good guy. I don't know what it is. And so basically all the positivity that could come to me goes to you. I promise you, you should be thanking my guests because that is the setup that we have over here. It comes back to you so many different ways. Troy, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to give people a lesson. I'm going to show them how to do it. Here's how it is. Ready, guys? Thank you. And thank you all for being a part of this. Thank you guys for being a part of the Mixergy community. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks, Andrew.